One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Action Park Media.
Goody, have you heard about this cold streak that I'm on?
I have seen it on the socials a little bit, but I haven't heard much about it.
I'm telling you, for Scooty, I said it on my Twitter. They should do a 30 for 30 documentary on how cold of a gambler I am. Trust me, Scooty,
my bank account knows this. This is facts.
From the minute, and it's off the tip-off. You know, a lot of these games, they're fun. Same thing with March Madness. We know going into it, we're going to lose money. We always lose. We know we're going to lose. I will pay for the experience when I wager on sports. I'm paying for the experience. I have gambled long enough to know we're just not going to win. Okay? House always wins. I do it for the experience. I really do. And me still thinking that I do have a shot to win money. But is it not great just watching a game, March Madness, whatever it is, and just really getting into something like that?
Yes. Which leads me to say, I didn't even get to watch any of the games that we lost.
That's even worse.
That's the worst, dude. So for the people listening, what Robbie did is he said, I'm going to get us an account back because it's March Madness. I was like, no, I'm not going to bet this year. He's like, no, we're betting.
You have to.
Well, I agree.
Well, actually, I'll stop you there. The reason I actually did that was because my March was over before it began, to where my bracket was busted so early. I said to you, Scooty, I was devastated just because my March Madness was over after day one.
Yeah, we watched that Ohio State game, and it was just a wrap.
At least you got to watch it. I was at work the whole weekend, and Robbie just calls me, goes, oh, I got bets on this and that.
Well, but we're in it together. We're a partnership.
Yeah, but you have to consolidate with your partner before you just fire out bets at will.
Yeah, well, you know what the thing is? He's at work, and you want the action. I mean, you want the game in, game out, to where now we're at a part with the tournament where first day's fine because it's rapid-fire games. Every, 25 minutes, there's a new game on. But now, Sweet 16, you want the action everywhere. I mean, you got to have the action.
Yeah, you can't force the action.
I force the action.
You bet every game. And half the games I was at work, I couldn't even watch. So I'm just checking my phone at halftime. I'm like, oh, we're down 10.
Do you know what you hate that everybody hates?
Yeah, the under.
I love the under.
Well, is that not ridiculous?
Who is this guy?
I absolutely
This is the guy who in life cheers for a game for the entire game for nothing to happen.
I'm with you, Cold Cuts, on if you can't watch the game and you bet on it, there's no value there if you don't win.
At least you get
your money's worth.
Yeah, it'd be like going to a restaurant. I order a T-bone steak.
Totally.
I come to take a bite and I walk away and I don't even get a doggy bag.
You're paying for the experience. And you're right.
Don't get me wrong. It's one thing if you're hitting your bets. If you're hitting the bets and you want to just let me know halfway through rapid fire, hey, Cutsy, just letting you know, just won $400 on a parlay. Fuck yeah, let's go.
Do you know what at the same time, too, is when we're taking you notice if you win a game, if you win a bet, okay, dinner tastes better that night.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Same dinner, same thing, same place. It tastes better that night. And especially when you go to Las Vegas, you have plans throughout your trip in Las Vegas to where if you're losing, you don't want to go to the Bellagio and see the water fountain.
No.
You know
True
what I mean?
Story, actually. I was in Vegas with a couple buddies, and they had paid for us to do a helicopter. You know those, Scooty, those helicopter rides that go over the entire Vegas and Red Rock and all that stuff? I was in the middle of a craps run, and I didn't even have to pay for the helicopter ride. It was paid. And they're like, okay, it's time to catch the helicopter. And I go, no. go without me.
But you were doing bad. No, you didn't
want to. I was doing real bad.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so I didn't want to go on a helicopter and watch all my money being spent.
But now, on the contrary, what you also have is if you're winning, you want to go to the Bellagio. Oh, you want to see the fountain.
You want to hear Sinatra in the back.
You want to talk to the people on the streets. They're doing. You want to go to, you know, you want to see Celine Dion.
Life seems to stand still when you're winning bets.
Everything's great. Everything's great.
When you're up money, Scooty, life seems to stand still. It's like you've cheated the system.
But to the point where it's like you don't want to make plans in Las Vegas because it all depends how you're doing, where you should almost see how you're doing. Am I wrong, Scoot?
I mean, I hope your plane ride isn't more than a couple hours if you lose, because that's just the longest flight of all time.
I've had to drive back from Vegas.
Won't do it again.
I've never been close to stopping off to the desert and never turning back.
But even that, I drove home after winning, and I got home from Vegas.
Turning and burning?
I said the drive really isn't that bad.
No.
The sun sets on. It's a soothing drive.
Turning and burning, baby.
Yeah,
you got Billy Joel playing in the radio, windows down.
Oh,
you feel like a million bucks.
You go to from Vegas to L.A. on that drive after losing. That four-hour trip just turned into 16
You go to Hertz and you say, upgrade me to the convertible.
Oh, it is brutal. But back to the unders. And by the way, folks, we didn't even start. We just started ripping. You're listening here to the Burnley Dumb Show. Joey Cold Cuts, our right-hand man here of the show, friend of the program here in the house tonight. We got Scooty Wilson, the new guy, wheeling and dealing behind the glass. That's our guy. Scooty, welcome to the program,
sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Love to have you. Back what I was saying with the under, okay? I feel for the under. First off, time's on your side, okay? Let me take that back.
You're saying the opposite.
When you're betting on the under, you're winning right out of the gate. You're always winning. All the ticks are working.
That makes no sense.
You're always winning.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Do you get where I'm going with this, though, Scooty?
Well, no, because it's all relative. So at the start of the game, the projection of the game is 0 points.
Correct, but from the opening tip, the time is ticking, and I'm winning at that time. Even if they score a bucket, technically I'm still winning to where it's a race to get to that. I love watching that clock tick.
But now the opposite is, there's times where you are more than halfway through, and the under's already looking dead because there's so many points. You have nothing to cheer for.
That's tough.
So you've lost your bet. You can't even root for the game in the second half because what's the point? You're going to lose the bet, so you're not cheering for points. That's the worst. Now, if it's the flip side, if there's hardly any points scored and you bet the over, you can cheer. You can get into the game. Every score, you're riled up. Like, that gets you more motivated because you're cheering for the points. The over can always hit, too.
Well, you know what?
The over is the back door.
The over is the back. Well, the thing with the over is you always got overtime in the back of your
head. The over is the free throw at the end of the basketball game. It's the empty net in the hockey.
But you always got overtime in the back of your head. Scooty Wilson actually said something that I found interesting. Scooty, now I try and get into hockey. I can't really get into it.
You should. It's the best.
What Scooty does is he bets on hockey. He takes the -1.5 for whatever team, so the favorite, to win by 2 goals or more, and then you get the empty net at the end.
Just to clear up the whole hockey thing, because it seems like a random thing to bet on. That's what I played growing up, so I feel like I got some knowledge on hockey.
Fair.
I'm not coming in hot betting on the hockey. I feel like I know it the best.
It's like the try-hard gambler comes in tonight. I'll be betting on the National Lacrosse
League.
Get the fuck out of here. Who's betting on lacrosse? But
it's either that or you're a degenerate and you got nothing else to gamble on other than the hockey game at 10:30 p.m. in Vancouver.
And you know what? I'm glad you clarified that, Scooty, because the listener's probably like, listen to this degenerate. On hockey. Scooty Wilson does have some hockey in his day.
I also have some degeneracy too, and that's fine.
Now you take the one
you
minus,
can accept it.
You take the -1.5 goals, okay? And what's interesting about this, which I kind of like, near the end of the game, you always get that thought. If you're up one goal, you're getting an empty net.
Yeah.
So is that a bit of an adrenaline rush?
I mean, it's the biggest adrenaline rush I think there is in gambling. You got that gaping net at the end of the ice, and they're trying to score a G note on you, and you're just firing the biscuit down to the end of the rink.
I mean, yeah, that's hockey's great, though, dude. You got into it the playoffs last year, the Islanders.
I mean, Cold Cuts, tell him there's nothing like playoff hockey.
No, there's not. And you know what? I told him this when we were on our road trip. I told him, you know, ESPN, they always play at the start of the highlights on SportsCenter. They play like basketball highlights right out of the gate or something like that, or football. In Canada, it's the opposite. So the first set of highlights are all hockey.
Yeah. Are they different anchors or is it the same?
Yeah, it's different anchors.
But that's going to change. That's going to change in the States too, because ESPN just picked up the NHL contract. So you're going to see a lot more Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid coming in.
Well, that's good because it should. But the hockey is always the start. So, like, if I want to watch a Canucks, you know, highlights, I know if I turn on the hour at, like, 8 o'clock or at 8:30, chances are that's the first highlight coming on.
You know what? It's almost, too, like, the NHL just kind of, like, threw up the white flag. And, like, they never promote. You imagine seeing, like, anything NHL promoting on
You never see anything. They're so bad at marketing their stars. They got Gary Bettman's got to take a hike.
They kind of got, in a way, the MLB disease, because MLB can't do that either. Exactly. Nobody knows anybody in the MLB.
And I will say right now that hockey right now has the best generational talent in maybe the last decade or more. With Connor McDavid.
Cold cuts.
If he cannot be getting Chunky's Campbell's soup or something, and it's like Dak Prescott, like, what a world we live
in. Cold cuts has a guy who I have never heard of, and he uses it for his touchpad, his iPhone screen. Like, he does three different players' numbers. He's the only guy that I've seen an iPhone touchscreen be named after his favorite hockey player.
I don't
want
to give away Cold Cuts' his passcode here, but
well, there's three.
Well, yeah, you got three combos. You got three different players.
Yeah,
but you named it after a hockey player called the Russian Rocket. I've never heard.
We're giving away big details right now.
Yeah, he's two numbers. It's two out of the six.
No, my phone password is it's in no specific order. Somebody's going to hack into my phone next time. It's Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Pavel Bure. Their numbers. That's
somebody
my passcode.
Somebody gets on your phone right now. What are you worried about?
Not much.
What are you worried about?
No, not much.
Nothing
really.
At all?
No, I don't. I think I'm pretty squeaky clean. Actually, yeah, I'm okay, I think. I think I'm okay.
I'll chime in from the back booth. Sophie Julia took my phone to, like, share stuff on the iCloud.
This is great.
And I was in a heavy panic a little bit.
Do you know what's amazing?
I was in a heavy panic.
Yeah, and I got
what are you worried?
I don't have anything, Cold Cuts, but it's just like, who knows what could be on there?
Well, yeah.
I actually have some stuff on my phone I wouldn't want to get out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we all do to some degree, but you know, if anybody takes your piece of technology, even the laptop is even scarier in the sense of it's just a bigger screen, it's more information.
Well, I always feel like the laptop's harder to break into for some reason.
No question about it, but it's not even a matter of breaking into. Somebody has to use your phone, immediately people panic because you got everything in there.
Yeah, you said bigger screen, bigger hard drive, and like a lot more internet history too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's
a lot
true
more
too.
Bandwidth.
Yeah.
Porn searches are going to come rolling up on there for sure. Oh, so everybody to searches. Some degree, yeah. Look, you guys.
Is that like if you click your Safari or your Google Chrome and you come to like type something with one of the letters and the first suggestion that comes out of the gate is a porn site? You're like, what have I been
now, how
doing?
How often
with my...
will you clear that thing out, Cutsy? Because you got to clear.
You got to clear the cookies.
Every now and then you got to
clear the cookies.
Hey, you got to clear
cookies
and clear
cachet.
Yes.
That's
they should make that the next like Dunkin' Donuts flavor.
Yeah, what does cachet mean?
I have no idea, but
yeah,
I'm clearing
knows.
It all day.
I thought it was cash. Is it cachet?
Yeah, I think it's cachet. I think it's French for storage.
Got to add a little flair on the end.
It might actually be
yeah,
French
you see,
for storage.
You see cachet. Get the fuck out of there. Yeah. What the fuck? How often you clean?
Get that cachet out of my fucking way.
Yeah, how often should you be cleaning out your phone?
We should ask. I don't know. I mean, I'm a single guy. I don't have anything to prove, so.
Guess it's a matter of how many times you jerk off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think phone is different than your computer.
Phone is worse. Phone
I don't
is
clean.
Worse.
I don't clean the phone.
What do you mean you don't clean the phone?
I don't clean the phone.
Never?
You're talking about
never.
Physically or storage-wise?
Both.
Well,
yeah.
You got to clean the phone sometime. You got to get the disinfectant wipes
Can we ask Sophie that?
What's
okay. Sophie, can you come on?
Yeah.
How many times do girls clear their phone?
Clear or clean? I thought we were talking about clean.
Clean their phone history-wise. Do girls ever have to clean their phone
What does that mean?
Like, history-wise?
Like remove history so people can't see what you're looking at.
Google searches and stuff.
I mean, the Instagram search,
yeah,
where
that's
you're searching, like, the guy's ex-girlfriends and, like, the guy, yeah, like, things like that. You clear the Instagram search, but besides that, like, I don't clear conversations. There's no, like, Google search history.
You ever go onto somebody's phone and go to type something in, though, like a guy's phone, and it's porn that pops up?
No, but I was on a first date, and I used his phone to show him something on Google, and I pulled up his internet, and what was searched was Sophie Julia. And then
Jesus.
And then I X'd he like turned bright red and I went to X out of it. And the tab under that said Sophie Julia vlogs. Like he was literally Googling me before. And I was like, it's okay. I Googled you too, but I was lying.
And I don't blame you. The Google search has definitely taken it a step above.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Well, Sophie, we appreciate you.
I'm going home.
We love you.
Poor girl wants to go home.
Yeah, Sophie. Let the girl out. All right, Sophie. Thank you, Sophie.
Poor girl. You know, she's done her 10-hour day, Bob.
Moving right along here on the Brilliant Dumb Show, ladies and gentlemen. Another thing I want to touch on while I got you here, Cold Cuts, is every now and then you get it. Okay, we go out to play golf this morning. The two of us, Rancho Park.
It's the worst, no?
Cool. Rancho Park, we know that we're going to get matched up with somebody. The place is a zoo, okay? Very, very rarely do you get matched with the guy who's just a jackass. And the guy that we were with this morning was a true jackass. And if you're a jackass on the golf course, you're a jackass in real life.
It's the same reason that people don't like to cheer for guys like Patrick Reed. There's some people on the course who just take it too far. They don't really give what you're looking for when you're out there, and you try to like give them accolades or do something, and they're just
You see what I'm saying? No, but a lot of the thing with Patrick Reed that he gets shit is his cheating. I'm talking about a guy.
Well, no, he's not to be a fun guy on the course.
Yeah, well, that's true. Dustin Johnson doesn't speak.
Yeah.
Do you know I actually know a guy who played around with Dustin Johnson, and he said, honest to God, he did not speak.
The entire round?
It was Dustin Johnson and his brother. They went really nice golf course. They went the entire round. He said, honest to God, he might have said two words. And you know what? You watch Dustin Johnson, I believe it.
But you probably wouldn't mind. You probably just sit back and watch him.
Just watch him play the whole round
would be a treat.
But I would like to have conversation with
him. Yeah, you'd like him to give you a little bit more. But maybe he's going for the course record.
I mean, shit, he's already gone for enough of those. There's no question
about
that.
But yeah, to get back to what Bobby was saying, today the guy in the course was just – I remember on the second or third hole, he actually made a really good long putt to the point where when you're making a long putt, you're just trying to get it close enough that you know the second putt is a gimme.
Yeah.
He put it almost in the hole. So I go to him, I go, hey, good hole, man, or good putt, bud. And he looks and he goes – remember? He goes, it's only good if it goes in.
And you know what?
That's just so not necessary, dude.
And there was no, I was waiting to see him laugh or smile. No, he was dead serious and he walked off. And another thing, when I'm putting, not to be a prick, but when I'm putting, yeah, maybe it was for bogey or double bogey, don't walk off the...
Oh, he walked off a bunch of times.
A couple times on me.
he did not want to see another Bobby stroke.
Yeah, and I've been putting for birdie or par.
Wait, the last thing, and I think the most obnoxious thing, and I don't know if this ever happened to you before, folks, is the guy's about to swing on the tee box, and me and Bobby are standing well behind him, not doing anything. And the guy's about to swing. He looks back and he goes, hey, boys, you think you want to move onto the other side of me? And we're looking like, what? He's like, you're in my peripherals.
Now, his peripherals, here's what's funny.
The guy's wearing glasses.
Yeah, here's what's funny about that. I'll tell you what's funny about the peripherals, asshole.
Bob was pissed.
I was pissed. First off, we're not at Augusta, okay? We played $25 to come play. We're not in your peripherals. And with his swing, before his swing, he would do a full 360.
It was so ridiculous.
Shit,
and I think we moved out of the way, and he proceeded to shank one into the trees. And then he's like, "Fuck, far right."
We're in his peripherals. He's doing a full 360s on top of the ball, just going. I'm like, where the fuck does this guy want me to go?
I looked at Bob. I was like, don't worry. We'll get out of your peripherals.
I was pissed.
We only had to move 2 feet to the left, and then he was happy.
I said to him on the turn, I was getting pissed off. I said, so what do you do for fun? Because it isn't golf. I feel like I was playing with Bob Knight. This guy was 65 and just fucking angry.
Ready to break a 9-iron over Bob's head after a fucking tee shot.
But the peripherals thing, I can't even pronounce. Said I was holding on when he said that. It was just enough.
At that point,
enough.
You were done.
I was done. I was absolutely done.
To the point where I started actually saying good comments, even when he made a bad shot, because I knew it pissed him off.
Well, that was
so
great.
He shanked one off to the tree, Scooty, far right. It was one of his worst drives of the day, and it hit a little Kareem off the cart path and rolled back in. I was like, oh, that's a good bounce you got.
Yeah.
Guy looks over at me like he wanted to rip me fucking limb from limb.
Yeah,
I'm off brand a little bit with the golf. I don't play golf, so going into a group match or whatever, is there something where that guy is going to be a piece of shit? it.
Well, to answer that question, I just wouldn't play with them because it could just totally ruin a round. And the thing with the golf is, especially with the way the game's coming out, like a lot of young people are out there, and even the older guys, they go, they have a good time. Yeah. One, I would say, every 10.
The last
times.
Bad one we had was Pete, the guy who used your fucking driver on the tee box
and
almost broke
story.
It when he shanked the ball.
I feel like I'm Larry David on the golf course.
It sounds like a Curb episode right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, this guy showed up and he wanted to use my clubs, and I didn't give a shit. They're older clubs. I don't care.
Wait, the same clubs that you're using?
Yeah,
you're
same
sharing?
Club. Same.
The guy, well, he had some clubs, but he would ask Robbie to try his driver
and by
or try
the way,
his three wood.
It was shitty clubs, so I didn't really care.
That would drive me bananas.
It was, because I need a club, and then he needs that same club. No. And I should have the, you know, it should be me that takes the club. This kid would just take it and run, but he was just, throughout the entire round, he was just obnoxious. He was running
Remember
loose.
The last time when you got pissed? What he did?
Well, yeah, then he... So we're all getting annoyed with him. This guy's just obnoxious. And it's a lot. And he takes my driver, and I think he just forgot that he was using somebody else's driver, shanks it way right, and gets pissed that he shanks it, and slams the club, just tomahawk.
And Robbie's standing there as this guy's... It's actually like an Entourage episode when drama breaks Brady's club.
This guy
That's
is
exactly
just,
what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, just slamming the thing. And me, you know, it's tough to get me really pissed off. What did I say to the kid?
You looked, what did you say? The fucking nerve of this kid.
I told you, got some nerve.
Is that an under your breath thing, or are you directing
No,
comments?
He said it loud enough. When Bobby says that, when Bobby's at that confrontation mode, he's ready to throw hands. Because that just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen to where you have to hit such a level of just being to where I'm always telling cuts, calm down, just relax.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, he wants everybody to get along. So if he's at that level, that the guy absolutely deserves it.
Without a doubt, and this guy deserved. But yeah, all I did, I said, this guy's got some nerve.
Yeah.
I said, this guy, and then I came back into the car, and I said to Cutsy, what did I say? I said, am I wrong? How did I say it?
Yeah, you got all upset. You go, am I the only one who sees this like this? And I'm like what? And you're like, this fucking guy. You didn't even know what to say. You were like at a loss for words.
I couldn't believe it. This guy has no social awareness.
And I will say this too, and I'm not saying that I'm the most fun person or whatever, but when we go off there, me and Bobby make it a priority to get everybody else
for
who's
sure.
in the round to like feel good about themselves. Because if it's like a band of brothers going out there, everybody's pumping each other up and stuff, it makes it feel, it almost gives you that extra added boost you need to make, like to turn the game around.
Totally. It's like getting a base knock in baseball. If I hit a ball in the gap, I want to hear my bench going nuts, you know, for me. Rather, if I hit a ball in the gap and it's crickets, you know, to where you're looking at that shot, you're watching it, see it go towards the hole, and you know a couple, hey, good shots are coming.
Yeah.
I give, like, you know, the little, like, it's great. It's so short.
It's like, you don't want to, you know, it's like, I hear you, but you don't want to, like, overdo it.
Right. Like, you know, we could do this from time to time. Total transition here. I was driving home. I went stopped at Starbucks. These paninis that they got, I thought it would be like a snack panini. You know, not often do I think of getting a Starbucks panini. You could use this thing as a sandwich with chips. It's that good.
It's that big or that good?
It's that good. It's enough to where if you combo it with some chips, and Starbucks has some great chips. I don't know how we started talking about this.
You brought it up.
Starbucks. There is so few things that Starbucks has out front that there's so few things that I would think I would actually try.
I was just going to say, you're crazy for getting any type of food at Starbucks. Even the little, like, lollipop.
Really?
No, Scooty.
No,
I did.
I'm getting any
of
that stuff, guys.
Scooty, wow.
I disagree here.
That's a hot take. No, but Scooty looks more like a blue bottle kind of coffee guy.
You a blue bottle guy, Scooty?
You know, I walk by Blue Bottle every day, and I go right to the Starbucks, and I get my vanilla latte that's overpriced $6. But I'm not getting any of the food, guys.
Confirmed it. Not a blue bottle guy. No. But Scooty, I think you're totally wrong here, and I get where you're going with it. By the way, the blue bottle breakfast sandwich.
They're great.
It's all the same. You think it's somewhat same. Look, Starbucks, you give these things a try. It's easy to knock them. Try the Starbucks.
You know what
panini.
I always get at Starbucks, and you've seen me when we go on trips. I get it. Is that their little parfait in the morning is really good.
Your parfait. I wish I could get into the parfait.
You're not a parfait
move.
Guy.
I would love to be. It just seems like such a good, classy move. It's light. Can't do it.
You can do it. Why can't you do it?
Well, I could eat it, but it just doesn't excite me.
I think it's great. You got a little bit of healthy atmosphere with the fruits and the, you know, well, if they do it with granola, that's
no,
good
too.
No,
but that's what I'm saying. It looks good. It looks great. Mm. And I bet Starbucks has a really good parfait.
Yeah, they do.
Scooty, have you tried a Starbucks salad?
What?
Try
a Starbucks salad.
These are, you know, the way that it's shaped, it looks like it's an airport salad.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. They're getting it straight off of the Delta airplane.
Scooty, it is so far from an airport salad, Starbucks salad.
But I think you sometimes over exaggerate on how good salads are. Like, you'll have the Trader Joe's Caesar salad, and
those
you're
are
going
good.
Nuts.
Those are good.
Are they that they good?
They're pretty good.
It's a very good salad. Very
like,
good
to
salad.
Me, it's still a salad, though.
No, there's all different types. You got the steakhouse salads.
What's Bobby's favorite
store,
all-time
you got
salad?
Mixed salad?
Is it Caesar from a steakhouse?
Oh, gotta be a Caesar. Gotta be a Caesar. Not a big anchovy guy. No. I actually like a thick piece of romaine.
Okay.
I don't mind the thick piece of romaine.
You like it when they have it like that? You end up having to cut it into 20,000 pieces anyway.
As long as there's enough croutons there with the big romaine to match up to it.
What about the big croutons?
Well, if you get the small romaine, if you don't get the thick romaine, the crouton overpowers the romaine. And you never want your romaine to be overpowered.
I like Caesars. Never knew there were this many elements to a Caesar.
Well, then you haven't even gone over the Parmesan cheese on top of the Caesar dressing. You sprinkle a little Parmesan.
Yeah, no issue with that.
That's
no
great, too. Or the lemon. The lemon at
you know
the end.
It used to be my favorite Caesar salad. I've told you this before. And we had the best connection there. And they couldn't reopen because of COVID. They didn't have outside seating. Best connection we've ever had. Best Caesar we've ever had.
Grill on the Alley?
Grill on the Alley. Good for you.
Bill reached out to me.
Bill
from the Grill now.
Bill from the Grill is the nicest guy in the world.
Oh, now it's Bill from the Grill who went to Bill to Ocean Prime.
Bill from the Grill got fired from the Grill, so Bill from the Grill now works at Ocean Prime, which is next from the Grill.
You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes.
Who's on first? What's on second?
Definitely not Bill.
How about Cutsy on fire this afternoon?
Lighten us up. I love it.
Absolutely on fire this afternoon.
The Unabomber just planting seeds everywhere.
It's Lululemon, by the way. Isn't this great?
Lululemon's great, but he's not talking the Unabomber. He's talking about the glasses. You're talking about the glasses.
I'm talking
no?
glasses, yeah.
Glasses, aviators.
Listen, you know the good thing about the... Yeah, can I get the whole Howard Stern thing going on?
I feel
on,
good. Okay? I just feel comfortable. Well, I got my jacket on.
You know, the beauty of the
glasses
is...
I feel
is
chill.
It, at the same time, too, especially with pockets, it's kind of like a shield for you.
Like, yeah, I feel like I'm like in the zone.
Yeah, that's kind of the white elephant in the room about glasses. People inside, like, they just want a shield. I love the shield play. I don't blame, to be honest.
Now
I'm
they're
jealous.
Easier to get than before because of all the pandemic reasons. You can get a fucking shield just off the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, but yeah.
The ones Jerry wears?
Yeah. But at the same time, too, if you wear those sunglasses, the beauty of the sunglasses, if you could get through those initial jabs of people taking of you wearing sunglasses inside, withstand those few flu blows because they're going to take some shots at you. Then you're protected the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you feel protected right now?
I don't. And you know this. I don't actually normally wear sunglasses. It's very rare.
Yeah, but I almost.
I like them in the studio, the lights and stuff. I feel better.
I almost think a guy like Howard Stern, okay, prefers the sunglasses because he can go in and in a way he's kind of got that shield in a way to where he almost. Am I wrong here?
It's like wearing them to a poker table.
Well, it's the Big Daddy theory, right? Kind of invisible when you put the sunglasses on.
Yeah, that's true. Great movie, by the way. Sandler's finest.
You know what? You know what Coldcut said we should do is we should label hats instead of doing the brilliantly dumb hats because it is a lot of words. You don't know if you space between the brilliantly and the dumb, and it's kind of confusing. He had two things. One I thought was ridiculous. One I actually kind of like. Do you want the ridiculous one, Coldcuts, or do you want the?
No, give them both. Give them both.
But which one do you want first?
The ridiculous one, because then you end on a good note.
The ridiculous one, he said that we should do brilliantly dumb on the merch, but take away the B at the end of brilliantly dumb. So he wants that. Now, I get where he's going with that brilliantly dumb.
It's a good play on things.
Like, you can't add the D. Like, you forgot to add the D. You're
dumb. Because you're
dumb. But it means a total rebranding. We got the Brilliantly Dumb LLC. Had no idea what that was a couple months ago, but a couple people told me, you got to get an LLC. I went ahead
Think someone else is going to do brilliantly dumb without a B LLC?
Do you know how ridiculous I looked walking into Bank of America to get the Brilliantly Dumb LLC? It was ridiculous. They had everybody that came by, she had to go and, like, get a manager to, like, do the codes and certain stuff at the time.
What were you wearing for that meeting?
I looked ridiculous. In shorts.
That's the problem. If you went in there with a suit or something, they would probably have taken you a lot more seriously.
You know what somebody said to me recently that just drove me? I mean, that one stung. He's like, you kind of dress like Adam Sandler. I was like,
that's
that
a heavy shot.
That's awful.
That shot's fired.
Sandler with the basketball shorts back in the day that would hang
still
down
does
past his knees.
Still does Adam, it. But Adam Sandler can dress like Adam Sandler because he's Adam Sandler. Me, if somebody comes up to me and says you dress like Adam Sandler,
you did used to have a pair of those and one shorts that were a bit.
Still
much.
Have them.
It looked like he was getting ready to hit Venice for a fucking, you know, little pickup basketball on the beach. He's wearing those and one basketball shorts, and he's wearing flip flops.
I think the only and one basketball shorts that are left are all in Venice Beach. I think every single one is in Venice
Beach. Or in your closet.
You know when it's really bad too is I've had the shorts so long that they were too big on me, and I tied a knot, but the knot is so firm throughout the years that I just never decided to take them. Do you have that with the shorts to where sometimes you have shorts where they're already knotted?
Yeah.
And for some reason...
And how annoying is the shorts where the strings come out of the little holes, but somehow the string goes back inside and you're trying to pinch
the
side to get the string back through? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I want to. This is interesting.
You ever wear like, say, some sweatpants will have them or PJ pants? They have the two strings that you tie, like you tie your laces. It's their laces that you tie, right? So you tie a knot to keep your pants up. But there's a little hole that the lace goes through, and sometimes it'll get stuck on the other side, and you're trying to reach in to grab that lace.
Yeah, so where does that go? What is holding up that other part of the string?
It goes into the pant tunnel, man.
The pant tunnel of no return.
Yeah. So the pant tunnel is open?
Yes.
Yeah, have you never worn a pair of pants, like a pair of basketball shorts or something like that? Where there's the strings that go through, like the Jordan, they have the strings
through.
Right, but
that's down the center. Where is the pant tunnel?
On the side of each side of the pant, there's holes where the strings go through.
Think about how the strings have to come out of the pants.
They
there's
go from
holes.
One way all the way to the other way.
But
he's
one string would but one string wouldn't hold up the other string. You're telling me it's going into the hole?
It's one continuous rope around. I mean, cold cuts. So what are we going to do with this kid?
I don't know. Bobby, you have a pair of pants, right? Right. The rope or the string needs to go through one side and come all the way around the pants through the other
side. Correct,
correct. So it's only one string.
I see what you're saying.
So then if the string sometimes starts pulling this way, you want to pull it back out so that it doesn't stay in the side of the pants.
So that's actually good to know because pretty much what you're saying is that lace is kind of like a hula hoop.
You didn't know that?
No idea. Well, I didn't.
It's horrible pant architecture, but it happens.
There's got to be a better way to go about it.
You thought there was two strings?
Well, the problem I have with it is now if you break one part of the hula loop, you ain't getting the hula loop back.
No.
So same thing with that string. They should make it to where a lot of the times the hole gets sucked in by the string.
You might be onto something here with the string the laces coming interjected is what you're saying.
Once that is in the hole, once it's there, it's gone. There's no getting it back, really.
Well, that's what we're saying. That's the most annoying part of it.
And that's what's happened to like a lot of even my sweatshirts. I have that same issue.
The string that you're wearing on your hoodie right now, the same thing could happen.
The
hoodie, look at your hoodie. You see the string?
Is it starting to happen?
No, it's still long enough, but I'm saying there's times where you look and you're like, I better even that out because you don't want it to...
Let me ask you this. At what point in my string would you even out? Seriously, because sometimes it goes down.
More. Okay, now at this point, you got to even out at this point.
To where? How many more days do you think I have till it gets back up, sucked up the
I don't even give it to chance. I just realign it right away.
I feel like a lot of guys... have it to where it's not fully in the center, and that I'm okay with. It's as soon as it gets up, there is where I'm having the problem. So where then it might get sucked out.
Yeah, it's got to be higher.
But back to what we were saying about so that was the horrific idea about the Brilliantly Dumb thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that actually was kind of Brilliantly Dumb right there. But back to what we were saying about that Cold Cut's other idea, which I kind of like, is to make merchandise easier, just... instead of Brilliantly Dumb, a logo that says BD. Problem with BD is Big Dick.
Big Dick, yeah.
And who wants to be the guy walking around with...
Who doesn't want to be that guy?
No, but it's obnoxious.
Well, it doesn't say it. It's just a logo. It could be on a black hat like that with the black or white logo.
Perfect example, actually. Nobody's going to want to do that. Jack Arnold, the grill master,
yeah.
He said, check the mail. He sent me something in the mail. He's nuts. he got me a hat that said, in wording, Big Dick Bob. And I said,
no way.
Yeah, I'll show you the hat. I'll bring the hat in. I said, when am I ever going to wear this? Like, it's not even, when am I ever going to wear this? Somebody's
going to walk around. That's why the BD, does. It's not obnoxious. It doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that. But, I mean, Scooty, when you think of Big D, I mean.
Can't get it off the brain here.
You can't get it. You see what I mean? That's why you're not going to want to wear the BD Brilliantly Dumb hats. All your.
Here's my question for you guys. Why do you think Brilliantly Dumb is too long? It's really, it's not supercalifragilistic expialidocious.
Yeah, no, yeah, but let me ask you this, Scooty. Do you space out the brilliantly and dumb?
I'd layer it. I'd go brilliantly dumb up top, and or brilliantly dumb, and then maybe you don't even have
Oh, you know what we should do? Like the Brooks Koepka Nike hat? You should just, down the center, just brilliantly dumb all you know the way down. You know how Koepka had the hat that said Nike going down the side? You could just do brilliantly dumb right down the middle of the cap.
Well, that guy from golf today would have thought that it's in his peripherals, the B on the end of that brilliantly dumb, that piece of shit. Yeah, I mean, but when I think Big D, I mean...
Jesus.
When I think BD, I think Big Dick.
Yeah.
Clearly.
You know, like, I always want to say, like, the Brilliantly Dumb Faithful or say, like, the BD Faithful.
Yeah.
But then it sounds like I'm saying the Big Dick Faithful.
I think you're overthinking it.
I probably am overthinking it.
Maybe you just do call him the Big Dick Faithful.
Maybe you do. Maybe you possibly do.
Yeah.
First follower, Nick Foles.
Well, folks, now, full cuts. What's the story? Are we going to, we're going to Javier's tonight?
Javier's tonight, yeah.
You know what I love about Javier's and Casa Vega, another Mexican spot that we go to, is it is a thin chip. And I think the chips and salsa, which is one of the best parts of the Mexican restaurant experience, It's the best. It comes out, you get the margarita going with it. I like a thin chip. You know what I mean?
Crispy.
Yeah, I think a lot of these places do those thick, triple-layered type chips and salsa.
Too much, like, too doughy.
You a thin chip guy?
Yeah.
And but, go ahead.
I mean, I like the chips when you can tell they're baked. They have a little of that seasoning salt on the top of them.
Right.
That's when you know the chip is good.
Like, you like the Javier chip, no?
Yeah, I do. I think that the guacamole play is not the play at Javier's. Because I think the salsa is so good, you're actually okay. And by the time they bring the guacamole out, you've already had, like, almost a whole bit of those little cases of chips.
True.
Already.
You know what?
So then you're like, well, now I can't have guacamole by itself.
You know what?
So you're firing into more chips.
This is going to sound a little weird, but I'll be the first to tell you, when me and Joey Cold Cuts go out to dinner, and even if we're, you know, with multiple people, Cold Cuts does the ordering. Because Cold Always. Cuts is a restaurant guy, and you know how much stuff to get, what to get, and then we like going back and forth and critiquing how you did as far as...
I can't blame you for letting me do it. It'd be like if you had a friend who was really good at betting, mm-hmm. and you're like, you know what? You take today's games, unlike you.
But Lauren...
You say, you take today's games, and I'm gonna be in on it with you. So you're there for the experience. You don't have to do any of the hard work. You get just to reap the benefits.
Yeah, like Lauren,
it's basically what you get to
Lauren
do.
Lauren thinks that it's weird that you order for me when me and you go out. I got no issue with it.
Well, we do family style, too,
you
most
do
of the time.
Style.
I was going to say, if you're ordering straight up the entree...
Yeah, oh, that's too much.
100%. Too much.
But when we do family style, Scooty, I'll just order everything for the table.
I respect that, and I like that because I get finicky with my menu. I don't know what to get.
Yeah.
If someone's just ordering for the table, I will enjoy.
When we go out for the appetizer, you know, we'll start with the chips and guac. And here's where I disagree with that. 9 times out of 10, you're going to be getting guac in your meal. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll double down even with the appetizers.
What if I want guac? I got to reach over to your plate because you got the enchiladas that came with guacamole.
True.
I'm going to scoop some of your guacamole off your plate.
Fair. But the thing with the Mexican restaurant appetizers is the appetizers are always the same thing as the entree. The taquitos are on the appetizer, but then taquitos are
getting. That's true.
You know what I mean? They got the chimichangas on the appetizer. The chimichangas are always on the entree.
Now,
too.
You know when the guacamole is worth the purchase? When they do it tableside. Because everything
no
always
question.
Feels better when it's tableside.
No
yeah, I could have the same Caesar salad. Scooty, I swear on my life. I could have the same Caesar salad that was plated from the back or something that was done right in front of me. And 10 times out of 10, I'm saying the one that's tableside
oh,
is better.
Sure.
It
for
just
sure.
tastes better.
To
it's
where,
fresher.
I
and it could have the same taste.
Yeah. We went to a place, a really popular place that's pretty much known for their Caesar. And they do the whole theatrics on the Caesar salad, which I love. But I actually said, I think they're getting away with a little bit here because they do that preparation. Oh. And the experience.
A little too much lemon in there.
Yeah, you could come out with anything. I think.
So you're making a claim that if somebody's doing something tableside, glad that people are more willing to forgive you if you don't do it as good?
Yeah, like, yeah, you give it more credit to where, like, you know, they do the table side Caesar salad. Why don't you just bring every dish? Well, it'd be like,
well, how about if somebody's deboning your fish for you and they leave a bone in the spine? You're not going to be like, well, you know, it's still pretty good job.
The bronzino that's sliced and diced table side is a memorable bronzino, whether the actual bronzino was good or not.
It's true.
But here's what I think you do. Maybe just bring out an appetizer. No matter what dish you bring out, do a table side.
Yeah. Or you know, why don't you start somebody off with something forced table side that they're so impressed by the time you finish, they have to charge it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, well, we took the liberty of bringing this. Oh, after this that performance?
Oh, you have to.
Charge us double.
You want Franks in the blanket? You make the Franks in the blanket table side. Whatever you got to do.
You like the table side service?
Love the table side service. It adds the theatrics to it. I would actually hire the extra server, the extra amount of staff, and do more things tableside.
The best tableside thing I think we had was when Big Maple made us those fucking old fashions.
These old fashions.
At Cedar Smoked. So he had the wood there, Scooty.
Yeah,
he started the flame and he had it trapped inside this, you know, crystal, like rocks glass. It just looks so nice. You don't even want to drink out of it. The smoke from the cedar starts rising up. He captures it. Throws in like the Macallan 18 in there.
And by the way, Scooty, this was at Wolfgang Puck Steakhouse.
At Cuts.
At Four Seasons where we worked at, so we knew the Big Maple. He's part of our crew. It is a restaurant we had no business eating.
I'll never go back after that meal. Nothing will ever be as good.
But we had no business eating it, and the people knew the way we were dressed, we had no business being there, but the Big Maple who worked there, he was assistant GM, he came out, it's like there was nobody else in the restaurant.
Fat Joe he had to sit to the table next to us because he had reserved it already.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Is Hibachi Grill tableside?
Oh, it's such a... You know, Scooty, to have you behind the ones and twos
this
on
is
the
a really good.
I mean, this is what this podcast
it is.
In essence,
it's tableside, yes.
Gotta be.
But it's not the tableside you guys are talking about.
But I mean, you know, you guys
are like fancy boys with the tableside here.
No, I'm talking about you could do it for a Michelin star restaurant, or that's a very good point. You could do it for Benihana's. For what you're actually getting product-wise, quality-wise, it's not that great. It's elevated tenfold because of the hibachi experience.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they get away
with
it, and they can know that they can get
kind of like the table side.
It's entertainment.
100%. At the same time, I do actually think they hold their own to where you actually get the food. The problem is if you just want to go and have a dinner, you don't want all the theatrics.
Like, so you're not a guy who the sommelier brings a bottle of wine out, and he's waiting for you to do your assessment. You're terrible in that position, no?
I don't know what I'm looking for. I mean, how often does somebody try the wine and... It's not for me.
not often. Showtime might do that.
Showtime would probably do that for sure. And I would be humiliated. If I'm at a table where somebody sends it back after them opening the wine. And another thing, presentation. Wine. Great presentation. Mm-hmm. They don't bring it out on a platter. They come out to you. They show it.
Well,
everything should be presented table side.
And they'll actually, the good waiters, when they open the bottle of wine, they'll put the cork down. So, hold on, I'm going to smell the cork. But it's done with such finesse and so eloquently. It's like, really nice.
The problem I have with it is if the guy comes to me and we're with multiple people, the whole table knows that I don't know what I'm looking for. And you want to take this guy, you know, the server, he's dead serious. You want to, you know, show him. Everybody's looking at you and they know I have no idea what I'm looking for.
But you, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're an F&B guy. It's a little bit...
You're in show business. You should be able to get away with some theatrics.
You know, but you know what you did when... one day I was eating at the Peninsula, okay, where you work. My cousin brought you over there. So many years there. Nicest hotel. You were... And the thing with Joey Cold Cuts, everybody sees Joey Cold Cuts golfing. You see him outside, the crazy outfits. Like, when Cold Cuts goes into work... There's a different switch. He's not the same person. And that's not a bad thing.
I go into beast mode.
He does. He goes into 5-star service. He flips it.
I was just going to say, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
When someone can turn it on and go into work mode, like that's a hustler. I like that.
For sure.
It's like an actor going on stage. As soon as the curtain opens, that's it. You're ready.
Like my manager at the Four Seasons, mind you, it's 5-star hotel. She was worried about me as a manager because... I was always just laughing and bullshitting and shooting the shit to where every time she came out, people were smiling, fucking around to where Cold Cuts comes in there and he wreaks havoc. But you were busting a server's balls because they didn't, and I'm a big water guy. It was an Evian bottle of water.
Yeah.
Okay. And you said don't pour Evian with the ice, which is a five-star thing to know. What about the ice?
I mean, you're giving filtered water into ice, which is frozen, unfiltered water. It removes the element of getting bottled water to begin with.
Is that unbelievable, Scooty?
I mean, one, that's service, and two, he's absolutely correct. You can get tap water on ice, and it tastes delicious, but you can't put bottled water onto ice.
To the point where, like, you're wasting your money by buying the bottle of Evian to pour it over ice. Really buying water for the essence of the purity of the water being filtered or not filtered, then you definitely are not going to get it poured over ice.
But you know what bothers me then?
What?
I mean, every now and then I treat myself to a Fiji water, and I always pour it in ice.
Well, then I don't know. I'll tell you what. After the Fiji's done, fill it up with regular water, put it in the fridge, and then fill it over ice the next time around, because it's just as good after you do that.
That's terrible to where it totally... Do you know how many dollars I've spent on Fiji water all to find out that I haven't even really been drinking Fiji water?
Well, you've been drinking a blend. LA's finest mixed with Fiji's own.
Is it like having a Dr. Pepper and mixing it with an orange soda? Like, how much of a mix?
No, it's not. It'd be like mixing a diet Dr. Pepper and a regular Dr. Pepper.
You know, there's certain maybe classes of water to where, like, I actually noticed that I like spring water a lot more than other waters. And I'll be honest with you. I think you could put a spring water in front of me. I think you can put a filtered water in front of me. I think I'll be able to tell you the spring water.
I doubt it.
I do.
We should set up a test like Portnoy did with what was it that he was trying?
Pizza, was it? Or the chicken sandwich?
He's done wine. He's done cheeseburgers. He's testing all sorts of things.
Should do one with water. And you should do one with Caesar salads. Yeah. And you should do one with bagels. I mean, why are we not doing this?
We were having this conversation the other day, Robbie, about what would you spend a little extra money on? And for me, it's bottled water. I'll go in there and I'll spend $3 for a bottle of water because I think it's worth it.
I like that to where like you really don't have a concept of money.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who typically buy bottled water, like, on the regular are people who don't use public restrooms.
I don't use public restrooms, so you're spot on with it.
How did you nail that? That's pretty good.
Well, you're clearly worried about the sanitary levels to the next degree. So if you're not going to subject yourself to drinking tap water, you don't want to be using a public restroom that other people are using.
No, but to me, that's not necessarily it to where I enjoy the flavor of water. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but
it has
really
no flavor.
No, but there's certain sandwiches I like to mix with a certain bottle of water to where if it's like a deli sandwich.
That is the most ridiculous thing I ever. Yeah. So if you're going to Bay Cities, then God forbid you got to get Essentia.
Bay Cities, I would probably mix it with Trader Joe's spring water. 100%.
That is so...
100%. Where if it's East Coast.
You're treating it like wine.
If it's East Coast, I like a deli sandwich with a Poland Spring water. Poland Spring was always my favorite. Not to say I won't have a different type of water, but like.
Now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You go over to somebody's house, one of your buddies, right? You're like shooting the shit, watching the game or whatever. And you say, hey, can you get me water? If he's like, grab one from the fridge and you go in the fridge and you see Arrowhead water.
No, I'm not.
Or you see Aquafina or something that you really don't like. Are you still grabbing the water or are you going to be like, you know what? I'm good.
No, I'll drink that water. 100%. I even will have those. I'd prefer, you know, something else. Where it really gets interesting, what I've done a couple times, and it's a ballsy move, is when somebody has, like, their filtered bottle of water, like they'll have Aquafina.
Yeah.
And then next to the Aquafina, they splurge on whether it be one of those big Fiji bottles, one of those electrolyte water bottles, you know, something like that. I have had times where I take the Fiji bottle. And I know it's nervy doing it. And
why would you do that?
It's such a good water.
I think Fiji's the best.
I'd fight you over that. I would fight you.
And you'd be so right to where if you called me on it, I would take it on the chin because it's a nervy. I would be, if somebody did it and I'd be like, you know, that's a ballsy play.
You're saying if they go into your fridge and you have a bunch of Aquafina water, but you got that one shining bottle
that
of
is
Fiji,
horrendous.
Yeah, I fight you.
For sure. Especially.
That's terrible that you would take that. He's done it to me before.
I have. It's all coming out. Why didn't you say you could have said something?
I couldn't believe it.
How come you never said that to me?
I went to go back in Scooty after the game was done. He had left like an hour ago. I go in the fridge to come grab the bottle. I'm like, what the f-? And I look over and I'm like, motherfucker, this guy drinks more water than I think is humanly possible.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. Like, I'll be like, here's a bottle of water. And before I know it, I'm not even done my bottle of water, and he's on his second one, and he's at the same fucking rate I am.
So he took it and ran? He wasn't even swigging it, like, right in your grill?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Swig and
run. We have such a good friendship that I would only do it to such a select few people.
Fair.
Cold cuts was one of them.
There's not many things he takes out of my fridge because there's nothing in the fridge.
He's got
So it's water, mm-hmm. And then where he does get me is he goes in the freezer, and the freezer Cutsy freezer selection is a different ball game. Cutsy freezer selection compared to freezer Cutsy's fridge selection, it's night and day. It's like going from
You know what I've taken a look into your freezer, and something I think you do very well.
Thank
is
you.
You're very selective on your frozen pizza. I think your frozen pizza knowledge is great. A lot of times in people's freezer, they make the mistake of doing, you know, one of those monster DiGiorno pizzas.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake, and it
I put you on the Red Baron.
Red Baron, by the way, is
you were talking trash about it. Then I make the pizzas. He goes, I don't do Red Baron pizzas. We're watching the Jets game. Bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
I try to give the guy a pizza, and he's like, I don't. So I made the extra one for myself because of the little ones. The guy fucking ends up eating half the pizza, and then he goes, "That was so good." And the next time I went over to his house, he had Red Baron pizzas in his fucking freezer.
And with the Red Baron pizzas, it's not a huge pizza to where you could put that in the air fryer. You're looking at 5 minutes till that thing.
That's nice.
5 minutes you could put that in there. And it's got a little bit of a char on the top of it.
Air fryer is like the Ferrari of cooking utensils, no?
If you ask me, yeah. I mean, Gordon Ramsay may disagree. I certainly think so.
I have a buddy who just bought an air fryer, and he is air frying literally everything.
Yeah.
He can't get away from the air fryer.
And I got news for you. I really don't think it's a phase to where, I think your buddy is going to be on that
air
fryer.
He's locked in.
Bobby's now going through this fucking grocery store looking for shit to fry.
Yeah.
You know, he's going through the fucking vegetable section. Those carrots look small enough. Yeah, no problem. We're going to put, what's not the alfalfa sprouts in there, fucking.
Now, Scooty, what does he put in the air fryer though?
Like I said, pretty much everything. But he's kind of a weird guy. He was doing straight up just unseasoned chicken breast, and he was putting it in the air fryer and eating that.
That's
unseasoned.
Unseasoned.
But I bet you it would come out with a little bit of a char on it though.
It had a little crisp.
It had a little crisp. Yeah. It does that with.
You don't even put olive oil on it. Like, but at least make an effort.
There's
man.
Such a range. One day I'll have salmon in there. The next I'll have like a fully loaded baked potato.
Now, could you do ribs in there?
You could, but that's a psycho.
I think
move.
You can do anything.
No,
in an
yeah,
air fryer.
You can.
I really
you
do.
Can.
Why is it psycho?
Well, to the ribs is like, come on. Yeah. Like, that's a little pushing it, I think, just in the air fryer community.
Why, 'cause you need the smoke?
I think it's known in the air fryer community that you don't do the ribs. Okay. And that
well,
might
who,
be.
Who makes those rules?
No, nobody, but like.
You say the air fryer community. It's like you know the governor, dude.
My old boss actually put ribs in the air fryer, and I said to him, I said, no, did you put the ribs in the air fryer? He's like, yeah. I was like, you're okay with that? Like, how did that turn out? And it was kind of like I downed him, and he's a big, like, you know, grill guy.
Yeah.
And I guess he liked it. I mean,
you're getting, like, a nice filet or a nice New York or T-bone, are you putting it in the air fryer?
No.
Okay. Although I would say, I gotcha. Yeah. I will say to put it on the grill and maybe try, like, I'd be curious to see what comes out.
You get a nice filet or a nice ribeye, you got to clean your regular grill. Like, you got to make sure you're doing everything that you possibly can to give that the right cooking environment.
But that's the thing, too, especially in L.A., barely anybody's got a grill.
Mm-hmm.
There's no space for them. Where are you going to put it?
Connolly just had steaks thaw out for the past 2 weeks in the studio here.
Or the Doug Ellen steaks?
I came in, because they just get sent a ton of stuff. I came in, it just fucking reeked. We're running that meeting. We're sitting there in that meeting, and I'm just ripping. It just smells like steaks going up my nostrils.
I got one more thing on the kitchen appliances.
Yeah.
Are you guys big fridge organizers, or are you just throwing your products everywhere?
Yes and no, if this makes sense. When I'm fresh off, I don't go grocery shopping very often.
I cut
just
I've
let
seen
me finish.
That fridge. I'd like let to me, see let the me, yes l- part of that question.
Let me just say, Bobby knows, as I say, I rarely go grocery shopping. So when I do, it's a big event. Mm-hmm. Like, I come back, and when I go grocery shopping, I spend like $200-$300. So I have room to make myself feel better to put stuff in the fridge. So when I finish grocery shopping for about 2 days, maybe three, I'll have that thing nice and organized, and because I finally have stuff in there. And then it's slowly, it's like a desert. It just slowly, the food dissipates, disappears. And then over time, there's like a thing of fucking hummus, two Modellos, like a half iron, or half like cut like lemon. It's like, and then all condiments. Every condiment you could ever possibly have is in my side drawer.
And Cutsy's got some purchases, especially in his freezer, that you see them and you think, okay, he was probably hungry at the time of him grocery shopping, or it was just a decision that probably seemed real cool.
You know
the
good
time.
One is? I got those Wagyu steaks. They've been in there for like months.
Well, but the one that you'll never have, you got a French onion, a frozen French onion soup in the freezer. And I could see, the Scooties at all.
From Trader Joe's. It's pretty good.
But what I say is I could see being in the grocery store, seeing it, especially if you're a little hungry. Maybe I'll start with the French onion soup.
I did one, and I never did another.
You were never going to start with the French onion soup. And it was two different French onion soups in one package.
So I'd had one, but I had one left over.
It was ridiculous. It was two in one. It's like they were ice pops.
I like the from Trader Joe's, they have the good little shumai.
They do. But those are some things that end up, being lost. And it's a great, the shumai is great. Trader Joe's does some things. We got a new hire, Hakeem, and he works at the Trader Joe's. And I asked him if I could interview him. And he was like surprised that I asked him if I could interview him. And I said, I just love Trader Joe's.
It'd be a good interview. It'd
be a great interview. I would have so many Trader Joe's questions. There is like a black market, not really a black market because they do it all over. There are Trader Joe's items that are so good, but they're seasonal, to where people crave them so much that people come, they buy 50 of them at one time.
It's like the McDonald's with the McRib.
And will sell them on eBay.
I still don't even know if I believe you on this, man.
Hakeem agreed with me. He knows it for a fact. They sell these items.
Who's that desperate they're buying the Trader Joe's signature?
Who is the Trader Joe reseller? Who is that person?
If you had their butternut squash mac and cheese.
Maybe it's Bobby low-key.
Now, I'm not a butternut squash guy, but if you have had this thing, it is unbelievable. And it's somewhat healthy for you. People buy tons of these during the fall, and they resell them. Beyond me how they ship them. But they resell them. Scooty, did you hear when I asked Hakeem? I said, can you come? Do you mind coming on the show?
I wasn't there for that. I didn't know you asked for a full interview.
Yeah.
I'm down with it. I think it's a good idea.
I did. And he was like, why do you want to interview? And I told him that I am fascinated by Trader Joe's. But no Trader Joe's tonight. We got to go to Javier's. Scooty, we just, let it rip here.
Mm-hmm.
Let it fly. How deep are we?
We're well beyond an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have enjoyed this. We hope you have enjoyed this. We appreciate every one of you. Scooty Wilson behind the glass on the ones and twos.
Yeah, you've been great, Scooty.
Fantastic. And Scooty,
it's like having a good goalie behind you. You know that you're in good shape. You're in good shape.
I want a ranking. Give me a 1 through 10. This is my first appearance on the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Give me a ranking. But obviously, hey, I need some room to grow.
I'd say for your first episode, I'm giving you an 8.5, 8.6. Easy.
Wow. Okay.
I think it's great.
I got news for you. I would even go higher to where I don't know where you miss, Scooty. I really don't. I think you're a phenomenal addition here to the Brilliantly Dumb Show. That's Scooty Wilson on the glass behind the ones and twos. You got Joey Cold Cuts taking off, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you listening forever and always. Let's keep the train rolling. This does it here for another episode of the Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Action Park Media.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.